Welcome to the Tanya and Roz podcast, where we discover spirituality together. And yes, season three has not started yet, but obviously Jeff and I cannot skip Cancer season, because that means we've had done a full circle of all 12 beautiful zodiacs. So this is just a little treat before season three starts in August. Hi, Jeff. Thank you for joining somewhere in between all the seasons.
Hello, right. Always nice to see you again or hear you again.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's been very busy for the both of us with news and events and everything. But we still want to do Cancer because it is the last one of our full circle. And I'm so glad that we've, you know, I think it's pretty cool that we've been doing these for a year now.
I love it. I absolutely love it. I know that we've got some loyal listeners who were literally, you know, coming back and listening to every single episode, because I would believe that on one hand, it is, of course, astrological kind of forecast, right? Because we're also talking about the moons, new moons and full moons, but mostly I see it as an educational content, right? If you understand the energy of, you know, Cancer, Leo, or whichever you're interested in, you can, you know, utilize this knowledge forever, pretty much.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So Cancer season, which is starting in, well, very soon in June.
It starts on June 21st, and that corresponds to the summer solstice. So that's already a very beautiful day when the energies are very kind of heightened, and it is believed to say that the veil is thin, so our intuitive capacities and abilities are becoming much stronger. So take this day. I think it's very beautiful because you see how it coincides. On one hand, it's summer solstice, and on the other hand, this is where the sun moves into Cancer, and Cancer is this watery energy that is very nurturing. It's very intuitive. It's very much in touch with their own feelings and intuitions, so to say. So keep this day, take or pencil it in sometime for your own kind of feeling, moment or ritual, let's put it this way, because let's face it, this year was not about clarity.
Oh no. It goes exactly everywhere.
That's true. We were floating with the Piscean energy. There was a lot of Piscean energy starting already, in March. And then in April, we had this big conjunction between Jupiter and Neptune in Pisces. And then it kind of gradually phased out in May. But still, it's 3 months of total unclarity, of total confusion, of total kind of faith and trust that there will be something better. And of course, if we look a little bit back, then the eclipse season has been a very, very heavy for everybody, very rough. But at the same time, I think many people can look back and say, oof, that was tough and rough, but now I can see why it was needed. Right? It's almost like going to dentist. Like, we know it won't be comfortable, but then when we're out of there, we're like, oh gosh, I'm so happy I went.
Yeah, exactly. So you have to go through the pain in order to feel more settled, basically, and feel more comfortable. Is that the right word?
Yeah, comfortable. I would not say comfortable, because comfortable, we look at it differently. We typically sit in those comfort zones when we don't want to change, when we don't want to walk that new path, when we don't want to say goodbye to something or someone that actually should not be in our lives anymore, because our growth is kind of maybe stifled or not giving the room for growth, right? And so that would be comfort, just sitting and not changing. But I would say, of course, the universe is pushing all of us collectively and individually towards the direction which is better for our soul evolution. And sometimes even our mind cannot imagine that going there would be better for us. Only when we're pushed there and we look back and we're like, oh, actually, right now, I love my life much more. Hmm. Yeah. So that is great. And we've went through it. And congratulations, we've survived no matter how hard it was. Now, the good thing is that we're in the summer when it is when we can feel that the energies become much more mellow, much easier. Of course, it doesn't mean that we don't have things to do. Of course, the pace is kind of accelerating, especially after the Mercury retrograde. But it's still not that emotionally heavy. It's just a lot of on our plates because we're essentially, we're building the new life. We're building the life the way we want it. We're building life without those old patterns or old things or old people. So it kind of takes, you know, work. But this is where the energy of Cancer, this is this welcoming sea of nurturing.
Oh, we need that.
All right. This is why I really, really love. Well, everyone loves the energy of Cancer because, I mean, I personally have lots of friends with this beautiful Cancerian energy, either Cancer suns or Cancer moons, a lot of those absolutely beautiful people. Because when we talk about the healthy expressions, about strong sides of Cancer, then it is about home, it is about family, it is about mother and motherhood. So it's this almost classic archetype of how do we see the role of a mother, you know, this nurturing, patient, always willing to feed you or hugging you or giving you this, you know, warmth and ability to then go back into the world and to achieve whatever you want to achieve, right? Mm-hmm. And so it is really warm energy because it is all about feelings and emotions. It's really like feeling, right? It's not about thinking. It's not about going and doing, although Cancer is a cardinal sign. So it wants to start something, right? But it's very much related to the feelings and emotions. We can almost say it's our inner home, right? How do we feel in our inner home? How do we feel within? Do we feel this inner sense of safety? Do we feel this inner safe of security? It's a home within, no matter what kind of storms are around us, or no matter where we find ourselves and what kind of environment or what kind of circumstance. So that would be a very strong, healthy energy of Cancer, of knowing that I can feel whatever is coming and I will be okay because, yeah, I know how to go through those emotional storms, right?
Do you think it's a good time to do a lot of inner work, a lot of maybe shadow work, because you maybe feel a bit more comfortable in the energy so you can handle going through shadow work and traumas better?
Wow, you're opening a Pandora box, Laura.
Sorry.
No. I'm very happy to comment on that. Well, in my personal humble opinion, there is always a good time to do shadow work. Every single month and every single archetype is supporting us, right? There is no kind of scheduled time for that. Oh, this month I'm just having fun and next month I will go within. No. This is really like, there is no specific sign. Maybe Scorpio would be like in the first row because it's really about digging deep, but the rest are all good. With the Cancer energy, again, it really depends on how this energy is playing out in your individual chart or every single one of us, right? We're very different and we're very individual. So our psychological makeup is very different. For some people, it's easier to feel. For some people, it's not. For we, unfortunately, we live in a society that does not encourage a lot of feeling. It encourage a lot of thinking and basically pushing the feelings away. So I would probably say that Cancer energy will gently and almost with a motherly tenderness will push us into feeling anyway. Maybe not going so deep into the shadow work, but actually acknowledging, what am I feeling? And especially, you know, summer when we want to slow down a little and enjoy and maybe lie on the beach. So there can be a few things that we even do on the beach, right? We can be, I don't know, reading, or we can be listening to the music, but we can also set aside maybe 5 or 3 minutes and to actually check in with ourselves. Oh, how am I feeling right now? Especially after this, you know, intense eclipse season, and especially after, you know, Mercury retrograde, and now that things are kind of calming down again, how do I feel? Am I different now? Am I not? Am I, you know, maybe I'm a little bit more mature when it comes to my feelings. Maybe I'm a little bit more responsible when it comes to my feelings. Maybe I feel a little bit more secure in my own inner world. So that, I think, is a part of it.
Oh, that sounds so beautiful. I think I really need it, just some gentle energies, because it's been like absolutely cuckoo, but yeah.
True, very true. Yes, and so the Cancer energy, as we were talking just now, it's really this perfect archetype or role of a mother. And when if we think about those people in our lives that have a lot of Cancerian energy, even their energy, they just walk into the room and you feel like you're already nourished. You feel like you're energetically hugged by them, right? So if you have these people around you, keep them around, take good care of them, because they are the nurturers, okay? So that is the very strong side of people with this energy, is that they like and they feel called to nurture others, to take care of others, to nourish others, right? So it's really, yeah, this is why many of us feel very nurtured when we come home, be it, you know, parents or grandparents, because they're taking care of us no matter how old we are, right? So that is the very healthy and strong expressions of Cancer. But here I also need to make a little comment that we should not always kind of expect that someone will step in and will take care of us, right? Of our feelings and our emotions and, I don't know, a home-cooked meal or whatever it is. You can always nourish yourself. You can always nurture yourself. You can always give yourself the best that your body needs, or your mind needs, or your soul needs. There is no one in this world who will know how to do it better than you.
Well, yeah, that's very, very true.
Yeah,
I'm just going to take this in. That's very true. I think it almost sounds too good to be true. The Cancerian sign. It sounds like the perfect person.
It is. And this is why when we're talking about archetypes, I always need to make a disclaimer, because there is no pure archetype in our world, right?
It's always a mix.
It's always a mix. And then again, let's not forget about the context. Again, we unfortunately live in a world that did not for centuries prioritize or value emotions, did not prioritize or value this expression of feminine energies, which all water signs are. And therefore, unfortunately, people who have a lot of watery energy, they have their own kind of struggles, let's put it this way, right? Either they feel they're misunderstood, or they feel like they cannot find their place in the world, because the world is so go, 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 and always, you know, achievement and career and rational mind and whatever. So they might even underestimate themselves. They might very much undervalue themselves. And of course, I mean, we have very clear ways how we can measure material success, but we cannot measure, let's say, emotional success. Maybe, you know, saying, okay, someone has got a beautiful relationship. But other than that, you know, it's hard for these people sometimes to find their place in the world. And so they continue to do more. They continue to outpour their beautiful energy and outpour into the others, to the point of either burnout, or to the point of depletion, or to the point of depression. So yeah, it's really important to know that these people are nurturers, men and women. We're not talking necessarily about specific gender. It's really depending on the personal chart and psychological makeup. So yeah.
Do you think they should, so for them, it may be best to always work on also their courage, is that maybe, and protection, like protection from other people's energies, courage, because they might feel underestimated.
Protection, you've nailed it. It's mm-hmm. absolutely yes. And I will be asking you for crystals recommendations, how to protect the energy. Courage, it really depends on the situation, okay? Because, I mean, of course, they might feel a little bit overwhelmed by the world, but then courage is related to what they would like to achieve, right? Not necessarily every person with a strong Cancerian energy will want to go out and achieve something. And if they are happy to be at home and nurturing their family, well, probably the only place where you need courage is to learn to say no. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And here we're coming to the unhealthy expressions of Cancer, and let's see what we need to kind of keep in mind when we want to protect our beautiful Cancerians, but also keep in mind what kind of energy we will be navigating between the 21st of June and probably 21st of July. Okay.
Yes.
So first of all, since we're talking about feelings and emotions so much, then during Cancer season, we might feel a little bit oversensitive. Mm. Okay, we might feel a little bit, you know, almost like vulnerable. Of, you know, maybe the world can feel a little bit too much and we might be a little overwhelmed by it and we would like to retreat into our own shell and not to get out of it, you know, when we feel like home is my castle, I'm recharging here, I don't want out, I don't want crowds, I don't want to be on the spotlight, like leave me alone, I'm good here. Mm. Okay. So that can be, please, taken into account. But we will be talking about the new moon in Cancer, and there is an interesting overlap of energies. But this is just to know, right, that people with the Cancer energy, they might be quite oversensitive. So be gentle, be very gentle. They are the nurturers, but they are also very sensitive, okay?
Yeah, I don't have Cancer in my archetype, do I? No, I don't think so.
No.
But I do sometimes get oversensitive, mainly if I'm stressed.
Well, there are archetypes, but there are also planets, okay? And I don't remember your chart right off the bat, but we could take a look afterwards.
Yeah.
So then, of course, that would lead to feeling insecure and unsafe, right? Mm-hmm. Either with other people or even within the family or in this world, basically. Again, how do I find the right way to be here in this world if it's so different from my energy? So there can be a tendency of hiding, retreating, being super private, or we're also looking for this emotional security outside of them. Right, in their partners, in their family, in food, in sweets, in whatever we kind of go to, right? So this is why it's shadow energy. It's very important to understand it first, because people, when they don't understand, they just go with it. They're like, this is my only way to go and I don't know any other. But when they understand that this is basically part of this insecurity or part of maybe a part of which is even wounded, it really depends on how the chart is functioning. But this is good to know, because when we know it about ourselves, then we can start devising, you know, and finding a different coping mechanism, healthy coping mechanism. How do I find the security within myself? How can I soothe myself? How can I use this precious, beautiful, nourishing energy not to only outpour into others, but also give it back to myself, right? Mm. And yeah, that also brings us to some events or situations where a person may feel helpless and even clingy to others for this protection, you know, others should save me, or others should protect me, or others should be always super sensitive with me. So there can be this expectation that, you know, everyone kind of should be always taking their feelings into account. And of course, there should be a golden mean somewhere, meeting somewhere in between, right? And the last that I wanted to mention, very, very important and very much resonating with what you were just mentioning, people with a strong Cancerian energy might have very weak boundaries. Okay, they're such nurturers, they're such, you know, nourishers, if there is this word, that they tend to forget about themselves and they tend to have very hard time of saying no. And so it comes both ways. It comes in the, like, it's of course also a very kind of big question to talk about. But first, I would definitely mention energetic boundaries. Okay, because they are so feely, they are feeling so much, and sometimes they cannot differentiate whether what they are feeling is theirs or someone else's, mm-hmm. right? So it's like feeling for everybody around, which at one point will take a toll, right? Because yeah. it's like exhausting to feel everything for everybody. And so, of course, there are also different instruments like Reiki, for example, or a different kind of protection, energetic protection, or, of course, also sifting one's environment and seeing what kind of people are nourishing you and what kind of people are draining you. Okay. So that is important. Then, of course, weak boundaries are also coming from the place of maybe low self-worth, of thinking that I cannot say no to others because I need to prove myself and I derive my self-worth from taking care of them. So I will not say no because this is where my self-worth will kind of diminish, let's put it this way. So again, you can see how it's more of a shortcut than a healthy, healthy pattern. And yeah, so I would definitely be looking forward to hear your recommendations, because I would say that Cancerian people, as much of a beautiful energy they carry that our society and all of us need a lot, they might lack this inner security and boundaries. So the crystals should ideally help them to ground and protect this wonderful energy that they are pouring into all of us.
Oh, definitely, yeah, because the set that we made together has quite a bit of sacral and root chakra crystals in there. So definitely shungite or shungite, depending on how you want to say it, tomato, tomato, is just like black tourmaline, super protective, and it's connected to the root. So it keeps them strong, it keeps their foundation strong, it protects them from other people's energies as well as negativity. And shungite is also the one that you can filter your water with, quite literally. Mm-hmm. Then we have red jasper. Red jasper is connected to the sacral chakra, and that is more the one for courage. It was used even in the ancient times as an amulet or on spears for courage during the wars and fights and stuff. So I think definitely that is one of the main crystals for Cancerians, or Cancerian energy rather. And carnelian as well. Carnelian, it's very vibrant, also connected to the sacral, although I feel it's also working on solar plexus personally. And that is the I do. And that's the boundaries. And I can set, this is what I decide. This is my gut feeling. So I think that's for the one that you mentioned, like the weaker boundaries, that might be the best one as well. And all of these are in the set that we made, which is on the Talia Laws website.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love it. The courage to say no and the courage to say to set boundaries. That is definitely where the courage is required for every one of us.
We all need red jasper and carnelian. I think, because it is in the top, I would say top 10 wanted crystals, carnelian and red jasper. Okay. People naturally choose it very quickly. And I just think, because we all feel that those are the energies that we all need, right? So they are super popular crystals anyway. But yeah, I think because it is for everybody, particularly for the Cancerians or Cancerian energy, rather, even if it's in your archetypes, right?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. I don't have it yet in my collection, so I'll definitely take a look at it.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. It's a beautiful crystal, especially if you've got a carnelian, if it's like a very high grade. It's so vibrant. I love it. It's very good.
What color is that?
It's super orange. Oh. A lot of them are bit of an orange browny, but the ones that, the tumble stones I've got are triple A grade, so they're very, very high quality. And they're super orange. They shine so strong. And they're amazing. I love them.
That's nice. That's so in line with the summer that I mean.
Yeah, it is a very summery crystal. I quite like that, actually, that idea. Yeah.
Cool. Mm. Perfect. Mm. All right. So let's take a look at the moons.
Oh, what's Luna going to do for us?
Yes.
It was super moon just now, wasn't it?
Yes, now that we're recording, we just passed through the Sagittarius full moon. And yeah, this is nice. I mean, it feels much easier than the previous ones.
Yeah.
Which is already a good kind of relief. All right, so we're looking into the new moon in Cancer, which will be taking place on the June 29th in the 7 degrees of Cancer. So if you have your natal chart, take a look where it falls, because new moons are always bringing new beginnings. And especially now that we are kind of through the eclipse corridor and now we tend to rebuild our life. There is no back, there is no coming back to old normal or whatever. Now we're literally rebuilding and doing things differently and experimenting and behaving differently or choosing differently. And so this new moon in Cancer, it's a very nice one. It's always a very kind of sensitive and feeling and nurturing. And I've looked at the planets and placements and aspects, and it has an interesting overlap. So we have the Sun and Moon in Cancer, which may be a little bit, may bring a little bit of this feeling of being a little sensitive, a little, you know, new, a little vulnerable, feeling like, oh, maybe I'm not ready yet for this new next thing that I've been kind of eyeing or looking at or thinking about or starting. Whatever it is for you at this point, right? It can be a project, can be a job, can be moving to another, moving houses, right? It's the Cancer. Or it can be, you know, starting something new, starting a relationship or starting a family or having a new baby at home. You know, it's still, you know, very fresh and very kind of sensitive. So see where it falls in your chart, which house, and what it brings for you. But it can bring this feeling, oof, I'm not ready yet. I'm not sure. I don't know. Can I do this? And so on. But at the same time, we have Jupiter in Mars and Mars in Aries. Okay. Mm-hmm. And of course, Aries is this first sign of the zodiac, very impulsive, very energetic, very courageous, which says, let's go for it, whatever. I don't know how you feel back there in your heart, but we'll go for it anyway. Okay. And we also have Venus and Mercury in Gemini. And Gemini, again, we know that it's very active, very outspoken, very dynamic. There is this let's try attitude, right? It's very kind of open-minded and ready to communicate and share and connect with different people and start something. So you can see how there is a blend of several energies. And we have a beautiful support because Saturn in Aquarius in retrograde will sextile this Mars in Aries. So there is definitely a support to go forward, but also to go forward with some responsibility, to know how to do it right, to see whatever you are starting, how it will bring some benefit to society or community that you are surrounded by, right? And also we have Venus in Gemini, sextile Jupiter in Aries. And where we have sextile, it's always a very beautiful support, right? It's easier, it's flow. When Venus sextile Jupiter, then these are two benefics are sextiling, that it says, okay, let's, you know, seed something here and let it flourish. Let's see what we can kind of experience here and get a benefit from it. And then the only thing that is a little bit, let's say, brings a little friction and tension is Jupiter squares the Sun and the Moon. But as we know, squares, they are also, okay, they might feel a little bit like a friction, but at the same time, this friction leads us somewhere. It pushes us somewhere. It says, okay, I got it that you feel sans serif. I got it that you feel maybe not ready yet. But this is the motivation. This is the push. This is a push to kind of jump into it, try it out, see how it goes. And chances are is that we might feel sensitive, but once we've started, then we're like, oh, actually, it's easier than I thought. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the key here, I would say, go for it, even if it still feels sensitive and vulnerable. All right.
I think that is my life motto. Just go for it.
Beautiful. Very good. Okay. And then we have the full moon in Capricorn on July 13 in the 21 degrees of Capricorn. Also, the same advice. Take a look where it falls in your chart, which house. Maybe you have some planets around and so on. And so this full moon is an interesting one, like every moon. I'm really loving it to check always what the moons are bringing us, because it's always there is always a story behind it, right? Mm. So here the story is that, let's say, the new moon in Cancer, this is our new beginnings, but also beginnings that are very much stemming from our hearts. Mm. There is something that we're beginning that is very much related to how we feel. Does it nourish us? Does it nurture us? Do we feel like this is important for us? Does it bring us this feeling of belonging and family, right? And then when we switch into the full moon in Capricorn, Capricorn is the energy we've been living for a long time in. And the Pluto was traversing Capricorn since 2008. So it was changing a lot. It was showing us as a society where there is too much rigidity, where there is too much focus on society and career and reputation, and forgetting about what we're feeling, forgetting about taking care of our families. Where there is maybe too much control or too much, hierarchy and too much power, not generated, but focused in one hand or two hands. And so it's an interesting one because that is the point of illumination, right? Mm. Full moons are always bringing some illuminations, illuminating something we either did not want to look at or did not notice in ourselves or in our environment or in our life, really. And so here what we have, first of all, moon is widely conjunct Pluto retrograde in Capricorn. And so that is already giving a very big push into transformation. You know, moon is about how we feel. And then Pluto, when Pluto is conjunct a personal planet, it transforms it very deeply and permanently. It says, okay, maybe this is the time to actually start feeling and not only be led forward by the mind, or not only be led forward by commitments and responsibilities that outside world placed on us. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that is already kind of hop. Okay. The fresh, water, which says, okay, now we really need to kind of reconsider here. Then we have Sun conjunct Mercury in Cancer. So again, this Cancerian energy is saying, I'm a part of the game here. And Mercury helps our feeling side. It doesn't push it away anymore as invalid or not needed or something that is problematic. It says, actually, what I feel, I think it's valid. I think it's important, and I think I will act on it.
Mm. Even that the Cancerian energy might be a bit insecure and not sure about the feelings, then Mercury and the Sun still help that energy to say, actually, I am going to trust myself.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's not that we are unsure of what we're feeling. If we pay attention, when we know what we're feeling. But it has been for a long time believed that we don't need to act on our feelings, right? as we were growing up, typically our feelings would not be validated. Typically, it would be just be rational, stay rational, act as everybody else, do what parents want, and, you know, like useful things that rule society so that there would not be anarchy. But at the same time, sometimes we could have experienced some rigid rules in place which would not give some space for emotions to be felt, acknowledged, and acted upon. And this is what is changing this with this full moon, but also throughout this year. I would say we all are slowing down to the point of actually acknowledging how we feel and what we feel. We're acknowledging what is important for us. We get rid of whatever has been imposed on us, and we took it just because, you know, we didn't know better. And now when we get to the bottom of what we feel and how we feel and what something that we do makes us feel, we finally realize, oh, but why did I do that career for 20 years that totally didn't nourish me? And I wasn't even involved there with my heart. I was just doing it because that was expected of me, or because it was comfort zone, or because I thought this is important. And now finally I found something that is in line with my heart.
Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. And of course the full moons are the points of opposition. We have the moon and Pluto on one side in Capricorn, and we have the sun and Mercury in Cancer on the other side. So there is this opposition and there is this friction between what do I choose? What do I choose?
Yeah.
Can I feel and can I go with what I feel and how I feel? Or do I still need to kind of be normal and stay in society and do whatever is expected of me? Okay, so this is of course the answer to be answered by every single one of us individually.
Oh yeah, definitely. So basically we need a lot of sacral chakra crystals to follow our gut feeling and to trust ourselves.
And heart, of course.
And heart, yeah, that's true. Yeah, that and heart crystals, yeah, definitely. So it is sort of like the mid body chakras we need to focus on as well.
Very much so.
We have to really, really trust ourselves and follow our gut feeling and follow our heart.
Yeah, very, very well said. And I believe also some of the planets will be helping here as well. For example, Neptune in Pisces is in the picture again. It squares Venus in Gemini. So it basically brings a little bit of confusion. It brings the feeling of, okay, I cannot be super rational now. I will be more emotional and more intuitive. Right. So some of the planets are saying, take that side, take the side of Cancer. Don't go with Capricorn anymore. Not so much, not to the extreme. Right. Or we also have Saturn and Aquarius trining Venus and Gemini. So it's asking, it's saying, how does it affect community? How whatever you are doing, if you are following your heart, can it result into a better future for everybody? Are you taking personal responsibility for how you're feeling? Right? Because if we're not fulfilled, if we're not nurtured, if we're doing something that is not related to our heart, I mean, we will not bring some nothing good to the society or people around us.
No, that's true. That's so beautiful. Is there anything else that we can expect this season?
I would finish with the full moon. There is one more aspect which I believe is kind of jewel there.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
Exactly. So basically, we have Uranus and North Node, which are already kind of coming back, coming together to conjunct each other in the middle of July. That is in itself already a huge aspect for every single one of us, okay? Because North Node is where we're moving towards, and right now it's in Taurus, right? And Uranus is a planet of disruption. It basically says, you know what, let's destroy a few things so that we could build new ones. And that is already an interesting one, because I think a lot of astrologers are keeping an eye on this aspect, which will start in the middle of July and will, I would say, last for a few weeks, maybe two, 3 weeks. And it's really hard to predict it, because Uranus doesn't allow predicting itself. It likes to be sudden. It likes to be unpredictable. It likes to be rebellious. It likes to bring surprises. And so we really, all of us, can expect that our lives will shift in one way or another, and our timelines will shift in one way or the other. So it's like the cosmic catapult that is coming in and says, okay, I will push you in that direction, even if you didn't think you'll go there, or you were thinking or feeling that you are not ready, I will push you there, and then just trust me, okay?
Okay.
And so this aspect is sextiling the Uranus and North Node in Taurus, who are coming together. They sextile Mercury and Sun in Cancer.
Ooh.
Okay, so you can see how much more weight we have on the Cancer side and how much against this Capricorn kind of power, right? So it helps us to move towards our future, where we value ourselves, where we value each other, where we're clear around our values, what's important to us, and our purpose. It's literally where we are guided by our hearts rather than our rational minds or any commitments which were imposed by society. Okay. So the key here, I would say, check in where you are not yet guided by your heart, and basically start trusting your heart and start following it.
Yeah. So basically, I would probably make a big sign next to my bed to say, stay calm, the end of July. If the surprises could come, the craziness will come, and you just have to stay calm.
Exactly. Just trust yourself. Yeah, trust yourself, but also trust that the universe always has the best plan in mind for us.
In mind. That is so beautiful. I think that's a very, very good last words. Universe has plans, and trust yourself, trust the universe. And yeah, that sounds beautiful. Jeff, thank you.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure of doing all these episodes, the 12 episodes throughout 12 months.
Yes.
So that is amazing. I'm taking the rest and reset break this summer. I'm still doing the one-on-one readings with my clients, and you can always find me on my website, which is www.evolutionwithjeff.com. But otherwise, I'm taking the rest from social media, from podcasting, from YouTube videos, and yeah, we'll see where the Uranus will catapult me.
Yeah, definitely. And the same is here for Tanya Loss podcast. We are taking a summer break as well. Also with Tanya Loss, because we are almost weekly doing events across the UK. So please do go to the website and the events to see where I am somewhere in the country with all my crystals and candles. And yeah, that takes a lot of preparation, a lot of time. So hence the break for the podcast. I don't have a specific date yet, but it would likely be mid to end of August that I will be launching season 3 of the podcast, because I will speak to a lot of people, and already have spoken to a lot of people for season 3. And it's going to be super, super interesting, with a lot of new healers, with a lot of new practices that you may never heard of. So do stay tuned to mid to end August for the Tanya Loss podcast. And Jeff, I wish you a beautiful, restful, and sunny and warm summer. And you deserve a break, because you also work extremely hard.
Thank you so much. Thanks to everyone. It was a pleasure to guide you, and hope to see you or hear you or connect with you somewhere
later. And do follow our podcast, and also share all the episodes. All our episodes in the last 2 seasons that are now completed are timeless. So even in Leo season, if you think, hang on a minute, why didn't you do Leo? We did do Leo last year. And it is about the overall energies, is evolutionary astrology. So you can still go back to episode 1, and it is still current. All the information is still current. They're all timeless. So do feel free to go back to the previous seasons and keep learning. I wish you a beautiful summer, and yeah, speak to you later, or you can hear me later somewhere in August. Bye-bye.
Bye.